We talked this morning about how our worship is mainly, in fact, almost solely about pleasing God. It's pointed toward Him. It is all about Him. This evening, we want to consider, I guess you could say, the other side of that, and that is that we are blessed when we walk with God. I want to consider some things, in particular, some things that we see in the book of Proverbs. A reading that I've been engaged in over the last couple of weeks has included readings from the book of Proverbs. I'm reading in a chronological manner, and it does some of the Proverbs while I'm looking at the kings, especially David and Solomon. And there's a great number of the things that we find in the pages of the book of Proverbs that are describing the blessing that we have because we are walking with the Lord. Psalms are the same way. And if you would, get your Bibles and turn to Psalm 5, because that's where we want to start this evening. In Psalm 5, beginning with verse 8 in particular, and reading through verse 12, which is the end of that particular psalm. The psalmist, who is my understanding is David in this particular psalm, O Lord, lead me in your righteousness because of my foes. Make your way straight before me. There is nothing reliable in what they say. Their inward part is destruction itself. Their throat is an open grave. They flatter with their tongue. Hold them guilty, O God, by their own devices. Let them fall. In the multitude of their transgression, thrust them out. For they are rebellious against you. But let all who take refuge in you be glad. Let them ever sing for joy. And may you shelter them, that those who love your name may exult in you. For it is you who blesses the righteous man, O Lord. You surround him with favor as with a shield. Even the two songs that we sang in our service this evening point out the fact that being with God is a blessing, is a comfort, and a strengthening thing. And so we want to look at some things that are blessings or benefits that we enjoy because we walk with God. We, as I said this morning, and a lot of times we emphasize the work and the labor and the need to be diligent. We also need to be reminded that there are blessings that are ours simply because we belong to God. And one of the things that we enjoy as a blessing because we walk with God is pleasantness. Maybe we don't think a lot about this, but we enjoy pleasantness simply because we are with God. In Proverbs chapter 3, there are two verses we want to consider in that chapter. Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 13, blessed is the one who finds wisdom and the one who gets understanding. And then verse 17, her ways are ways of pleasantness and all her paths are peace. If you recall back when we studied the book of Proverbs, the very first part of that book emphasizes and personifies wisdom as something that we ought to strive to gain. And here is a part of that message that is presented there in regard to wisdom. It makes our way pleasant. And of course, when we're talking about wisdom in the context of the Proverbs, we're talking about wisdom that comes from being close to God, studying and learning about God. And it gives us pleasantness in our walk. No matter what part of our life we're talking about, having God along with us in that particular relationship or transaction that we're engaged in, that conversation, it's going to make it more pleasant. We're not going to do a lesson on the home, but we could spend a lot of time talking about the blessings in the home that come when both husband and wife are focused upon serving God. It changes the relationship. I'm sure all of us know friends or maybe even family who don't have God in their marriage, and even as good as it may be, there are some things that just aren't as they ought to be. But we enjoy, because we are both serving the Lord, we enjoy a pleasantness that can't be found in any other way. The same is true in our relationships with our children, in our general home life, in our jobs. even in our retirement, and the people that we associate with and we may mingle with, if we're mingling with those who are focused on serving God, it's more pleasant. I'm convinced that's one of the reasons that the New Testament writers tend to tell us that we're better off if we spend time with Christians. And I'm fully convinced that that's why the advice of the Apostle Paul to one who would lose their mate is remarry somebody that's a Christian. Give yourself to someone that belongs to the Lord. Because it gives a pleasantness. Because both are walking in accordance with the wisdom of God. And since God created us, He knows what's best for us. Walking with God brings a blessing of pleasantness. It also brings the blessing of companionship. In particular, good companionship. You will not find a better group of people to spend your life with than Christians. In Proverbs chapter 13, again, in verse 20, he who walks with wise men will be wise, but the companion of fools will suffer harm. Evil companions corrupt good morals is the equivalent of that latter part of that particular proverb there. When we walk with God, we walk with the greatest people on the face of the earth. I recognize that not all Christians are as faithful as they ought to be, and there are some evil people that are in the church. We don't like to think about it, but sometimes there are. But in a general sense, we're walking with the best people on earth. In fact, we're walking with people that we look upon and consider as family. As we're traveling through this world, engaged in whatever things that we may be engaged in, being careful about who we have as our companions makes a difference. I'd much rather travel with my wife than with my brothers. My brothers are nice guys, but my wife's just a little better than they are. I'd rather travel with my family than with some strangers. Why? Because we have common goals. I know of brethren that get together and take vacations together because they want to be associated with Christians while they're traveling. And they're some of the greatest companions to be with. And, you know, we could kind of look at our life as a family trip going from the world into heaven, because the Scriptures describe our brothers and sisters in Christ as brothers and sisters, doesn't it? In fact, the passage there we have in Mark chapter 10, Peter asks, we've left everything to follow you. And Jesus' response there, truly I say to you, there is no one who has left house or brothers or sisters or mother or father or children or lands for my sake and for the gospel, who will not receive 100-fold now in this time houses and brothers and sisters and mothers and children and lands with persecution, and in the age to come, eternal life. I suspect I have mentioned before, and I may mention again, it doesn't matter where I travel in this country, if I can find brethren, I can feel comfortable being there. Because of the journeys that I have been on, both growing up and as an adult going to various different places, I have brethren, especially in the southeastern part of the country, and just about anywhere you might want to go. I've always felt that no matter where I was in the country, if I could come back through Arkansas, I knew I had some friends there. Folks I could count on. And I have counted on some of them through the years. Why? Because we're all focused on serving God, and we treat one another with respect and with honor, and because we're all of the same family. We belong to God. But we need to also extend that out, not just to our brothers and sisters in Christ, but we have Jesus and God who is with us. We have the blessings of God walking along beside us. Jesus there for us to lean on, as we sing in the song from time to time. Leaning on Jesus. He's there to support us and to help us. I'm sure all of us have read the poem at some time or another. I think it's titled Footsteps. It's talking about the footprints, or maybe it's footprints, the footprints in the sand. And then there's the place where there's only one set instead of two sets. Why did you? That's where I carried you. He's there with us all the time. That's a blessing that we enjoy. Because we're traveling through this world with God. We're not traveling alone. Companionship. Another one of the blessings that we enjoy is influence, in particular, influence over our families. And influence for good. In Proverbs chapter 20 and verse 7, the righteous who walks in his integrity, blessed are his children after him. When the Apostle Paul speaks to young Timothy, he's not young Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 1. He said, I'm reminded of your sincere faith, a faith that dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and now I am sure dwells in you as well. When we walk with God, when we're conducting ourselves according to God's plan, we're walking the straightest path that can be walked. We are being the best example that we could possibly be to our children, to our husband, to our wife, to our brothers, to our sisters, to our parents, all of those that are close to us and that know us. If we're walking with God, are going to see the greatest influence that they could possibly see. That's why the writer of Proverbs, the wise man Solomon, says the children are blessed of the righteous man who walks in integrity with the Lord. Now I realize our children grow up and they may follow off after some other influence. But if we're walking with God, they had a good influence growing up. They have those teachings that are going to help them to get through this life and be prepared for eternity. We can't force them to give attention to those things, but we can provide them. And we make it evident what it is that matters in our life here today, because we're trying to influence others for good. It is said of Zechariah and Elizabeth, the mother and father of John the baptizer in Luke chapter 1, they were both righteous before God, walking blamelessly in all the commandments and statutes of the Lord. Why was John the way he was? Why was he so devoted to the job he was given by God? Because of the influence of his parents. Because they were righteous and upright. They trained him in the way that he should go. One of the blessings that we enjoy in walking with God is the influence that we can have for good with our children. And along with that, we walk with integrity when we walk with the Lord. Proverbs 10 and verse 9, whoever walks in integrity walks securely, but he who makes his way crooked will be found out. When I think about walking in integrity, I'm reminded of Daniel. Remember Daniel? When we think of Daniel, we often think of Daniel in the lion's den, or we think of the dreams that he interpreted for Nebuchadnezzar. But when you read through and look at the book of Daniel, and you read about the life of Daniel, his life was conducted so close in his walk to God. He was so pure and righteous in his dealings and everything that he did. He was such a man of integrity that when his enemies sought to find a way to trip him up and cause him a problem, get rid of him, actually, is what they were wanting to do, the only thing they could do is get the king to pass a law that would make Daniel violate his God in order to obey. When we walk with God, we walk with integrity. We walk a righteous and upright path. We do that which is beneficial to our employer. We conduct ourselves rightly in his eyes. We're honest and upright in all of our dealings. Sometimes it costs us a little bit, or we miss out on a few things, but overall we are better respected because we can be trusted. Folks know that they can count upon us. Why? Because we're walking with God, and when we walk with God, we walk with integrity. because we're careful and concerned about how we act with, interact with the world around us. Another thing that we enjoy as a blessing because we walk with God, we can go to sleep at night with peace. If you lie down, you will not be afraid when you lie down. Your sleep will be sweet. Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 24. There are some other passages that talk about this as well. No matter where we sleep, if we belong to the Lord, if we're walking in accordance with His will, we don't have to worry about what's going to happen during the night. We don't have the struggles and worries that much of the world has. I mean, just look in the case of those who would seek to deceive someone. You ever thought about how hard it is to lie? I mean, we don't think of lying as being hard, do we? But it is. Because once you tell that lie, you've got to remember what that lie is. You've got to remember where you deviated from the truth. You've got to keep in mind all the rest of the time that you come in contact with that person, exactly how you told that story. Or else you're going to get caught. And I don't know about you, but when I look back on the times that I tried to get out of things by telling a little less than the truth, that's the way I looked at it then. I know now I was telling a lie. I usually ended up having to stretch that story just a little bit further in order to cover something that I missed the first time. And in order to keep that lie presented as the truth, I had to constantly be on guard. And made it hard to sleep. And that's just one of the simple things. Very complex, simple thing, but still. One of the simple things where we can have peace if we're always walking with God because we tell the truth. It may hurt. We may miss out on some things. But we don't have to worry about whether we still got our story straight or not. We can sleep with peace. We can go to sleep at night with peace, knowing that if we don't make it through the night, we're still all right. I think that's one of the benefits that we sometimes don't keep in mind or grab a hold of. The peace that we don't have to worry about death. When we die, we go to a better place. We don't have to be concerned about those things. We can sleep with peace. When we pillow our heads at night, if we know that we are walking with God, we can sleep with peace. Peaceful rest is a benefit that we enjoy because we are walking with God. We also enjoy the benefit of assistance. In Proverbs chapter 2, verses 6 through 8, "For the Lord gives wisdom. From His mouth comes knowledge and understanding. He stores up sound wisdom for the upright. He is a shield to those who walk in integrity, guarding the paths of justice and watching over the way of the saints." And then in James chapter 5 and verse 16, "Therefore confess your sins to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person has great power as it is working." We have God on our side. No matter what's going on in our life, we know God is there. We alluded to this a moment ago when we talked about leaning on Jesus. He's not just walking beside us, but He's there to support us. When we run into trouble, we can go to Him. When we need guidance and instruction in how to deal with a particular aspect of life or to deal with a particular person in our life, we can go to God and receive instruction from Him on the best way to do that. Whether we'll accept that instruction or not is a choice that we have to make. But the pages of God's Scripture gives us everything that we need. Paul said, everything we need dealing with life and godliness. He's provided everything. No matter what situation we may find in life, we can find the advice for how to deal with it in the pages of Scripture. Of course, that means we're going to have to spend a lot of time reading and studying the Word of God so we know those things when the time comes, or at least know how to find them. But God is there to assist us and to help us. Paul tells us that when we're tempted, we don't have to worry. We just need to put our dependence upon God, because when we're presented with a test or a trial, God has made certain that there's a way for us to overcome. There's a way of escape. And we're not tempted any more than the rest of our brethren or the rest of the world is tempted. We're not even tempted any different than the Savior Himself was tempted. God is there to be with us. And then, as James mentions, and we could go over and read in the book of 1 John as well, whenever we do find ourselves having messed up, having committed sin, God is right there, just a prayer away to set that right. Are there some sins that we may commit that might require us to do more than just pray to God? Yes, sometimes. If our errors, our sins are of a public nature and bring shame and reproach upon our brethren, upon the church in a public way, there's more involved than just praying to God and receiving forgiveness, because there's repentance. And there's works meet for repentance that are involved. But in the sight of God, we can pray to Him and be forgiven of anything if we're willing to set it right. God is there to assist us and to help us. His Word is there to protect us and to keep us. There is no other path that we can walk on this earth that will give us the kind of help that we have through God and our brethren who are walking along with us. You know, one of the things that we always need when we walk, no matter where we are, no matter where we're going, we always need light. And there is no other pathway that is as brightly lit as the path of God. The path of righteousness is like the light of dawn, which shines brighter and brighter until full day. It's not often, but every now and then I get up early enough and it's still a bit dark when I look outside. Then I go back by the window and I can see a little bit more. And I can see a little bit more. Until it gets to where I can see everything. But it's within my eyesight. Why? Because the light has risen. We walk a pathway that is light. We walk a pathway that is so well lit that it's almost impossible to miss it. Unless we're striving to miss it. I know each of us have walked a dark pathway from time to time. Maybe it's when we're out in the woods and all of the canopy of the trees block the sunlight. Maybe it's when we get up in the middle of the night and we have to walk through the dark house and we know how difficult that is. We enjoy the blessing of light when we walk with God. He shines on our way. And I'm convinced that pretty much each one of us here this evening have been walking long enough with God that we're walking in the full light of day. I know when we started, there may have been some doubt or concern. And I don't know about this area. It's a little darker over there. I'm not sure. But we learned as we grew and as we studied and we applied the Word of God to our life. The light shone on our path in a matter that it was easy to find, easy to follow. We enjoy the blessing of light all through our pathway when we walk with God, because God is light. He is the bright sun shining in the eternal night that we seem to be living in this world. The pathway of God shines bright. Problem is, men don't seek out the light. They seek out the darkness because they want to hide their deeds. we who walk with God can enjoy the light of His path. Finally, we have eternal blessings. I don't have the word eternal up here, but eternal life, eternal joy, and eternal gladness are ours when we walk with God. Proverbs 12 and verse 28. In the path of righteousness is life, and in its pathway there is no death. We said just a moment ago that we can sleep peacefully because we don't have to fear death, because we don't die. Our physical body dies. But if we're walking with God, we live. In fact, leaving this world behind allows us to live more fully than we could ever live here, to experience true life and fellowship with God and with all of His children. In the path of righteousness is life. We don't fear death because those who walk with God do not die. We live. We've overcome death through Christ. The book of Isaiah, chapter 35, verse 8, and a highway shall be there, and it shall be called the way of holiness. The unclean shall not pass over it. It shall belong to those who walk on the way. Even if they're fools, they shall not go astray. And then verse 10, and the ransom of the Lord shall return and come to Zion with singing. Everlasting joy shall be upon their heads. They shall obtain gladness and joy, and sorrow and sighing shall flee away. You know, of all the things we studied in the book of Revelation, one of the things that stands out to most people that read from that book is that chapter that describes heaven. And one of the passages that so many people want to keep in mind when they talk about heaven: no more death, no more sorrow, no more crying. When we walk with God, we enjoy the blessing of joy and gladness. Even in this dark and wicked world, we can know true joy and gladness. There's so many people in this world today that for various reasons and various influences they've allowed in their lives do not understand or know true joy. They know pain and suffering. Because we have God with us, because we walk His pathway, not only can we have joy in this life, but we have eternal joy and gladness that awaits us in the life that is to come. Joy that is beyond anything that we might imagine here on the face of this earth. Joy of eternity with God. Singing praises around the throne, rejoicing. Because we pass through this life and entered into eternity to be with the Creator for all time. As I've said many times, that when one of the saints dies, it is not a time of sorrow. When we do sorrow the loss of their companionship, it is a time of joy. Because they have overcome. They have attained victory. And we walk with the Lord. We walk the pathway of God. That is the benefit that is ours. Eternal life and joy and gladness beyond anything we can imagine in the whole earth. No pain, no sorrow, no suffering. Belongs to those who belong to God. Walk the pathway of righteousness. Walk with God. Enjoy the blessings and benefits that are His children. If you find this evening there's things in your life that are amiss and need to be corrected, we urge you to set them right. Pray to God and ask Him to forgive. He's there waiting for you to come before Him, acknowledge and correct those wrongs, and He'll forgive you. And if you never permit it, we can assist you in that. Time and opportunity is yours. Why not come on the same day?